The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We got something for him. A whole lot of strapping.
Jalen Johnson, the no.
Jalen Johnson.
Jalen is a premier player.
Starting cornerback for your Chicago Bears.
Jalen's just a real talk expert. He just tells you how he feels.
I have those type of goals and aspirations, and I know to get a yellow jacket, you got to be consistently great. And I think for me, that's my goal, is to consistently be great.
2023 Pro Bowl selection.
Picked off by Jalen Johnson. Johnson.
2023 All-Pro.
Problem was he threw that the one guy you don't want to go attack in man-to-man, Jalen Johnson, is going to be a first-team All-Pro.
Well, and it's a little bit of the Deion Sanders effect when you're playing opposite of Jalen Johnson.
Takes you inside the locker room after every Bears game.
Second and six. Jalen pulls the motion, man. The handoff to Gibson again, and that time well defended by Chicago. Jalen Johnson was all over that handoff. Dominique Robinson coming in to help out. Fell forward for a yard, but that's all.
Yeah, he's up here, and he's going to see it's going to be a delayed action, right? It's kind of a crossover, trying to get that counterplay. And if that play is going to take that long to develop, and you've left your corner on the outside unblocked, good job by Jalen Johnson recognizing that, getting in and tackle for a loss.
Well, that boy, animal, he's a whole goat, man.
Jalen Johnson with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Almost everyone looks forward to us talking with Jalen Johnson. 5 o'clock on Mondays after games. We're still trying to connect with him. And when we connect with him, we will bring him to you. Speaks, I want to thank you because I desperately needed, some sweets. I've been pretty good today. And I'm like, oh, you know, I'll get what I get when we get to the airport or whatever. Springing for the dozen of pink box donuts.
Yes, sir.
That is clutch.
It was time.
It's clutch by you, man.
It was time. And also, as referenced earlier, I was supposed to bring something back to the hotel room last night and failed to do so. That was referenced earlier as relating to the look that Caleb Williams was giving to Shane Waldron as they were communing on the bench, where Waldron was like trying to laugh off something that seems to have gone wrong on the offense, and Caleb was shaking his head. And I likened that to that moment when you're trying to make good with the wife. You're thinking maybe the argument is over. Like, have I outlasted this? Are we good? And so you make the joke, and she shakes the head and turns away, and you've realized you've just made it worse. You probably put another 45 minutes on the timeline or something like that. That's what the state of their relationship seems to be. And as we wait here to connect with Jalen.
So wait, can we now call you Joey Box of Donuts?
Oh, yeah, sure, man. Go for it. I got you, because it is a box and not a bag. Chuck's the box.
This was a good choice, too. Yep. Our guy Alan made good choices, because you've got the old fashions in there, the long johns. Like, I'm more of a cake donut guy than a yeast donut guy.
Uh-huh.
So you need to have both if you're going to do an assortment. Like, that's a big thing for me, is that you get a couple of different. And I love whenever I come to the West Coast, the old fashions, like the sour cream old fashions.
There's one there. I only had half. I left it for you.
No, I'm just saying. Like,
I left it for myself later. Oh, look, half a donut.
As a connoisseur, that's one of my favorite things about coming west. A lot of the places in the Midwest don't rock the old fashions that way.
Understood. Well, you know, here at Circa, it has been a beautiful atmosphere Beautiful atmosphere yesterday to watch a very tough Bears game. But we continue to be in a beautiful atmosphere, and we are thrilled to get a chance to welcome our friend Jalen Johnson into it. Jalen, wish you were here with us, man, at Circa Resort and Casino. We're out by the pool. There's a 180-foot TV screen with all the sports you could possibly have. All the donuts have arrived. wish you were here with us, man. Thank you for joining us. How are you, sir?
I'm good. You have the pool in Chicago?
Well, I mean, No, we're in Las Vegas.
We're in Vegas.
So we've been doing the show from Las Vegas.
I was going to ask. I'm like, that don't sound like a good thing being by a pool in Chicago, but Vegas for sure, for sure.
No, that would have been a terrible choice for us.
A horrendous choice.
With a high of 49, but with a high of 80 and no clouds in the sky, Vegas was the place to be.
Gotta have
our segment. Our segment with Jalen Johnson is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. And this segment is also brought to you by Phillips Chevrolet, the number one selling Chevy dealer in Illinois for 18 years in a row. Jalen, how would you describe how you guys feel about losing yesterday?
Man, I ain't gonna lie. It's really nothing new, I would say, as far as the feeling goes. It just kind of keeps just progressing. I mean, every week, of course, is a new opportunity to try to get that feeling out of our system. But, I mean, quite frankly, it hasn't really changed clearly since Washington. It just is new reasons, new things to be kind of upset about. But, I mean, honestly, at this point, it's just like, man, we just got to find a way to figure it out. Because, I mean, I know that a lot of guys prepare, compete the right way. It's just hasn't fallen in our favor, really. I mean, we were talking on defense, just really trying to figure out some things that we can do better. Because, I mean, we got guys that give a damn. We got guys, I mean, it's heavy. But, I mean, at the end of the day, we all trying to figure out ways for everybody to perform better individually so we can find ways to win the game.
You mentioned since Washington, Jalen, and the storyline nationally is that the Hail Mary broke this team, you know, and that's what people who aren't close to it are saying. We've been trying to figure it out. It's what we talk about during the show, you know, like do you think that Hail Mary and the end of that game, did that have an effect, or did what happened the week after have an effect more so than just one loss?
No, because, I mean, of course it definitely took a lot out of us in that moment, but none of what I would say happened in that Washington game carried over into the Cardinals. I know first and foremost the defense, we didn't perform to our level of expectation by any means, especially rushing, just giving up, I think it was over 200 yards, remembering correctly. So, I mean, that had nothing to do with no damn Washington. That was just us not being where we're supposed to be and finishing plays how we know that we could and normally do. But, I mean, just honestly, just trying to figure out a way to get some confidence, I think. And, too, like, the biggest thing with that is having confidence and energy. You got to execute. So, I mean, for the whole entire team, I mean, I think it's just about execution. If we can execute, it'll drive the energy, that confidence, and then we can kind of try to figure out the momentum. But it takes a moment to get momentum, and we haven't had too many moments where it's okay, we can carry this on. So we just got to really just honestly figure it out. Everybody got to I can't say that part. Everybody got to figure out a way to do their job a lot better.
So all right, so not from that game. How about the week that followed when, like, you know, there was a lot of noise. Some called it outside noise. Some called it inside noise, whatever. And then, you know, like that was a bumpy ride. Is there any effect of that in terms of the coaches, the relationship with you guys and the coaches? Because I'm not going to lie, Jalen, the thing seems broken. And we're kind of like trying to figure out.
I can see that. No doubt.
Yeah, right? So we're trying to why is it broken? How did it get broken, you know?
Right. I can't say, of course, being on the inside, I can't say necessarily that it's broken. I think for me, one thing that even like I tell people all the time, like, I'm not one to overhype things and try to say, oh, yeah, well, we're looking like this. I fight for me. And one thing that I fight never changed is learning how to win. And I think, again, the last three games have really shown that I don't feel like we quite know how to win. And I feel like even the games that we did win, quite frankly, for me, it was like those weren't games to like push our, I would say, will to know how to win. I mean, they were pretty much easy games, I would say. But I feel like just for the tougher games, teams that are well-schemed, well-coached, to have athletes put together, I mean, I feel like those are the games that challenge us the most, where we have to really truly learn how to win top to bottom, capitalize off of points, stop the run, establish our run game. I mean, create explosives, not allow explosives. I mean, kind of just all of those games. And in some of the bigger games, I feel like that's when we got to show up better. And I feel like we haven't done that really so far this year, especially being able to win on the road. I mean, in order to be a playoff team, in order to be a contending team, you got to win on the road. And we clearly haven't done that. And then, of course, snapping our streak at home to quite honestly, the Patriots, who had no business being on the same field as us. I mean, it's just uncharacteristic for who we know we are and what we want to be. But, I mean, again, that just comes with not having a killer mentality of just putting guys away. Cause, I mean, that team shouldn't – that score should have been flipped and even more. So, I mean, that's just truly, I feel like, on everybody involved. We just got to learn how to dominate and win games.
Why were the Patriots so successful yesterday?
Because they have momentum. So you have 9 damn sacks. I know that's a lot of momentum in itself. That's a lot to be hype about. I know every time their defense exited the field, I mean, they were lit. So, I mean, just kind of that momentum, it's easy for their offense to come onto the field with a little more momentum and things like that. I mean, they made way more plays than we made as far as the team goes. I mean, our special teams, I would say, definitely outplayed them. But, I mean, as far as just the momentum, the change goes, I mean, I don't think we had sudden change pretty well. I mean, I think we had a turnover and didn't get any points off of it. That stuff like that hurts, giving up an explosion, giving up points before the half, just little things like that. I mean, at the end of the day, too, for us, I think they had one touchdown on a block and goal, which, I mean, on the goal line is extremely difficult. So, I mean, can't really look at that. But I think, too, we just kind of gave up too many explosives, I would say, on defense. But I mean, overall, it was a weird game. They definitely have way more momentum, and they made more plays, which gave them that momentum.
I was honestly surprised, Jalen, at the success that they had on offense against you guys, because, you know, it seemed like, and I know that this is from someone who doesn't play the game, but it seemed like what they were doing was pretty simple. And I've seen you guys exploit teams like that are maybe don't have your own Pro Bowl personnel and are doing simple stuff. Why was their offense able to succeed against you guys, even though it was only 19 points?
Honestly, I would just say we didn't execute on defense as a unit. I think we just have – not even we have. We all got to do a better job at, I would say, just doing our job. And – excuse me for that. We just got to have guys doing a better job of just doing their individual assignment. I think we, everybody included, like when it comes, especially when it comes to the run, I feel like it's really gap sound defense. So I feel like if there's some one guy that's out of his gap or that's in his gap at one moment and then gets out of it, and then that's kind of where the creasings have happened. That's where I would say a lot of like plays slip up. And then I feel like really in the past, I think they only had maybe 4 or 5 explosive passes. Everything else outside of that was really shorter check down completions. But I think more so just like in the run, especially with the Patriots, they were trying to establish the run best they can and then kind of have some plays off of the pass. But the pass wasn't, I would say, what hurt us. I think it was some of those runs that went for 7-8 yards that should have went for negative or different things like that. But I feel like overall, we just got to have all 11 guys really on one page, just doing their job, and whoever play it is to make on that specific play, just let him make that play and not everybody trying to make every play.
Jalen Johnson is with us here on Spiegel and Holmes. You know, Jalen, I remember how happy you were and like you were kind of gleaming a little bit when the offense was looking good and it was looking positive and things were moving in the right direction and you hadn't had it. You really hadn't had it yet. And it's gotta hurt then. I mean, the inverse of that, when you see the offense struggling like this, man, it's 34 drives since the bye, and there's two touchdowns. There's 11 three and outs. You know, it's 27 points over three games. It's crazy. It's gotta be difficult for you to experience when the offense is struggling like that.
Difficult, yeah. I mean, honestly, I feel like I'm used to that more so than I'm used to the offense putting up 30 damn points. So, I mean, I think for me overall, honestly, it's just continue to just be myself, continue to be who I am, to do really my 111th. I mean, that's the first step. I can't start looking in at everything else and getting too high or too low based on everything else that's going around me. I got to continue to do my job, do my part, continue to be a high-level player, high-level leader. So, I mean, just honestly, just trying to not to ride the wave too much, but definitely being human, it does get, I would say, frustrating at times to kind of see it. But I mean, for me, honestly, it's not anything new or something that I haven't been through. I feel like, if anything, I'm the most experienced guy with it in the building. So just trying to figure out how to keep guys really into it, raise the bar for the defense and the expectation that we have. So, I mean, for us, I know we got to get back to playing at a very, very high level.
Do you comfort Caleb? Do you try to talk to Caleb after a game like that?
Comfort? Nah, I mean, that don't sound like that ain't my job per se. But I mean, I would say as far as encouraging him throughout the game, showing that we're not giving up on him. I mean, like, he comes off and he normally sits, I would say normally, like in my seat. So he sits with his quarterback coach. So I always give him some love, whatever, before we go back onto the field. So I mean, that's, I would say, the most extent that I give him, I would say, some comfort, if that's the word that you want to use. But I mean, we're always trying to encourage him best way we can. I mean, him and the offense. I mean, if it's the O-line coming off, I try to reach my hand out, give them some love. But I mean, at the end of the day, we all in it together, wins, losses, or whatever it may be. We still all in it together.
To go back to what you were saying about, you know, learning how to win, knowing how to win,
right?
On the game day stuff is one thing. How much ownership can you guys take as far as getting yourself ready during the week, and how much does that play a role in knowing how to win?
Say it again so I can think about it.
Okay. During the week, like, how much does the preparation aspect versus the game day aspect of knowing how to win, how do those two things match up?
I would say the type of preparation. Of course, everything practices, every team prepares a certain way. I would say that you have to know what to prepare for and kind of what to expect when you're preparing. I would say just going through it. So, like, for myself, I can tell you my preparation for my individual. So it's kind of looking at the tape and seeing, okay, what could they have seen? So I know I can say for me, there was times where I wanted to have better footwork and stay on top more of my press cover. So I'll go, and throughout that week, I'm doing drills, I'm emphasizing and making sure it's like, okay, maybe I need to change into my alignment. Maybe I need to change the speed of my footwork and my press, or different things like that. Kind of assess it myself and then applying those things. I think for a lot of the times, it's like you'll see it and then it will be one of those things where it's like, I'll go out there and back put it. It's like, no, why back put it when I need to be working on my press technique? So I think a lot of times, like for us, certain things that we do isn't what necessarily I would say we need to be working on. We can spend more time doing other things. But I mean, everybody has their, I would say, combination of sticking to what has gotten them to a certain point and then also kind of adjusting and figuring out what it is that we need to do. And I think even for the players, we need to vocalize more also too. It's like, okay, well, coach, I need more help with X, Y, Z, or whatever it is. Each position group, each person kind of has their own thing that they feel like, hey, I need to do this better. And quite honestly speaking, there's some things that you can do and some things that you're not going to be able to do throughout the duration of a practice. So, I mean, I feel like to a certain point, it's up to the coaches, and then to another point, it's up to that player to get those certain reps or get certain things or see certain looks that they want to get to be able to help them get over that hump to give them the best chance to execute on Sunday.
You know, it stands to reason, Jalen. Like, you know, sometimes there's guys who work on a radio show. One person works harder than the other one. They work a little more careful. I'm not mentioning any names. Lawrence, I would never say that about you.
All right, yeah, because you'd be inaccurate.
Oh, damn. Look at that. Look at that. You know, that's right. I wouldn't say it about Shane or Tanny, you know? But, like, it's just people. So are there people on this team that you know, some people work harder than others? It's just human nature, right?
Yeah, so, it's not really even a question.
Yeah. It's just what happens. So how can you change that? What do you do to possibly change that if you can do anything as a player in that regard?
What can I do to possibly change that? Honestly, I've been fighting myself with this question for a long time. Because I've thought about it, I've been asked the question, and I think honestly for me, part of me says that there's nothing you can do, and a part of me says that there's something that you can do, because I'm going to use your office, for example. I'm going to use you and Lawrence. So if you're used to getting extra or staying after your designated hours and you go over and you see how you can do something better, and you work at it, and you start getting results, and then Lawrence sees you, and he still just kind of lollygags, laughs, hey, all right, I'm going to see you later, and then he leaves. And it's like you do that for a long time and you see somebody see you getting work. And it's like at some point you kind of like, hey, whatever, you want to work out? Yeah. And then some guys will leave or he'll ask you, hey, what is it that you do? And you'll tell him and then he doesn't do it. So it's like at a certain point, it's like you kind of think in your head, like maybe he just don't give a damn how I give a damn. And it's like at the end of the day, that's OK. But how can you can't necessarily change somebody's want to or hunger to do something, to be uncomfortable. I mean, there's times where he can be, oh, well, I got to pick my daughter from school. It's like, yeah, you got to pick your daughter from school. But sometimes, man, you got to ask somebody else to pick your daughter from school so you can get this dang work. So our radio show can be the best that it can be. But I feel like it's oftentimes there's always a rhyme or reason or something better to do. And those opportunities are being taken. And then it's, oh, well, we all want to win. No, we all don't want to win at the same level. Like, we all don't want to grow this radio show at the same level because clearly there's not a level of application that has been going on. So, I mean, it's, you can tell somebody to do it. I mean, like they say, you take the horse to the well, but you can't make him drink. At the end of the day, we got to have a lot of guys that are thirsty. And I feel like there's definitely an area of improvement for everybody, players, coaches. I mean, everybody involved is a level of hunger and thirst to be able to truly get the job done.
How hopeful are you that over these last 3 weeks, where these have kind of been heartbreaking losses for different reasons in all three of these games, that might spur people on to take a look at how they do their preparation as well as how much preparation they're doing?
Honestly, I don't know. We'll have to see because, I mean, the way that I am wired, the preparation doesn't change because we're 4-2 or we're 4-5. I mean, like I said, to me, it's like you are who you are. If you're going to prepare a certain way, because, I mean, somebody can change for a week or change for 2 weeks, but it's like, are you going to change when it starts getting colder? And it's like now when we're practicing in 30 degrees and we stay out and catching extra passes, is your mind going to be strong enough to keep you there? Or is it, nah, it's too cold, I'm gone. So, I mean, I think it's just even things like that. I mean, it's only so long, or so much you can fake. After a certain point, who you are is going to show up. And I feel like that's the part that I feel like goes into learning how to win is we got to have everybody with that mentality of wanting to be great individually. Because, I mean, it's only so far. I mean, the team can be good, but it's only good as you have good players and players put in good situations and those situations get executed. So, I mean, it really just all goes together, I would say, as far as want to, and you can't fake a want to for too long.
See, Jalen, that answer, those answers are so real and so relatable because we all have those kind of situations, and there's only so much you can do when the coworkers when it is that way, because you feel like you can be responsible, but in the end, it's up to them. We know who you are because you got paid and came out hungrier and working even harder, and that's like we have seen the inverse. So you have proven what you have. Is that a light bulb that you were born and raised with? Like, I don't know, some guys might not have that light bulb moment like you obviously had somewhere along the way.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's one of those things where it's like for you guys, honestly speaking, it's like it looks like I'm hungry because I feel like now I'm getting talked to more, I'm getting asked certain questions But it's like, honestly, I've been doing what I've done as far as my extra work, my preparation, my film, my all of that. I've been doing that since my junior year in college. So, I mean, for me, when I wasn't all pro and I wasn't Pro Bowl, when I paid or no paid contract, no contract, borderline of getting traded, not getting traded, it never changed for me. So, I mean, my work and my process had nothing to do with the results. I mean, I feel like, honestly speaking, God just gave me something different and the light switch flipped for me, I would say, more so in high school, and also seeing my brother work the way that he worked and kind of just seeing the results of it made me hungry. And then, of course, I want to. I mean, from the very beginning, people ask who do I want to play when I got to the NFL? Devontae Adams, the best receiver in the league. Like, that's a want to. And it's like, for me, wanting to go against somebody like that I had to win those matchups far before I got to them. So, I mean, for me, it's like I've always tried to give myself the best opportunity to win and to succeed on Sunday. And if I come up short, I know it's not because of preparation. It's because I just messed up in that moment, and I can live with that. But, I mean, for me, it has never been because of a contract. It's never been because of anything else. I mean, God just always has gave me that hunger and that thirst to want to go get it, and I've always went to go get it. I mean, again, I was blessed enough and fortunate enough to get the contract, but that contract don't honestly mean a damn thing to me when it comes to my mentality of wanting to be great. Anytime somebody lines up in front of me, I want to be the best and embarrass him at the end of the day. So, I mean, that's never changed for me in my preparation.
Not that Jalen needs fact-checking, but I talked with Morgan Scalley, and I talked with Sharice Shaw, his coaches at Utah when he was drafted.
Yeah.
And I, like, as he was talking, I went back through my notes.
That's awesome.
And the thing that both guys said was he wants to win. He wants, and he will do whatever it takes to try and win. So,
by my count,
just fact checking, yeah, Jalen, you know, just trying to make sure that we
by my count, Lawrence, we only need like 15 more of Jalen's. You know what I mean? Maybe 10? I don't know.
I think that Jalen's impact, even maybe you don't need more of him, but you need more of Jalen. And we'll see how much more he can impact the rest of the guys that are around him and bring all the people that are working super hard like he is along for the ride, too.
Absolutely.
Jalen, you are an absolute delight, man. Thanks so much for being on the show as per usual, and we'll talk to you next week.
No doubt. You guys have a good one.
Jalen, you too, man. It's Jalen Johnson.
That dude lays down sermons every week at 5 o'clock on our show.
He really does. We just got to find a way in and get there. And then when we get there, he's like, oh, okay, yeah, I will tell you.
It's really incredible stuff that he just shared. And I want to react to it
a little bit. Let's do it.
Because there's a couple things that I want to make sure that we make a clarification on. And if you want to talk about what you heard, 312-644-6767 is the way you can text the show and call the show. Spiegel and Holmes here with you until 6 on The Score.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score. We're back with more of the Spiegel and Holmes show, live from Stadium Swim inside Circa Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
So, as per usual, that was a pretty amazing conversation with Jalen Johnson. And as the show goes on, I don't want to necessarily treat the Jalen Johnson segment as if we have to then do a wrap-up show of the Jalen Johnson segment. But I will say that I marvel at the type of communicator he is.
Yeah, we heard him making some choices in real time during that, that as communicators ourselves, we're noticing that's some advanced stuff.
Yeah, it's very impressive the way that he understands how to use tone, that he understands how to use allegory. He understands how, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
Like he is a very effective communicator. One of the things that I thought was super interesting, and I think it's worth talking about on multiple levels, is, look, sometimes the issue isn't how hard someone practices. Sometimes the issue is, what are you doing in your practice time? Like, are you – I think about the – you remember that game that Georgetown played against DePaul? And Patrick Ewing is saying to one of the players, do you practice that shot? Like, it was a meme. Do you practice that shot? One foot step back. Three, you practice that shot?
And win. Then, win.
Win. Win. Exactly. and you go, yeah, that's not something that you do during practice. So it's not going to work.
So like, practice smarter. Even if you're practicing hard, practice smarter.
You can practice really hard, but if you're practicing the wrong stuff or stuff that's the other part. Tomorrow when we bring it back, because we, like, as a group, we were like, yeah, that needs to come back into the show. I think that he's being very honest about a lot of things. And I think that if you want to interpret it as, man, are they even doing the right stuff in practice? Are they allocating,
I heard some of that,
enough time in 100%. Practice for guys to get it right? I think that is a fair interpretation of what he said.
I think the bulk of it is not – the bulk of how it's going to be looked at, I assume, written about, as he often is, because he's such an interesting communicator. And when we talk tomorrow, is going to be about – the teammates and, like, you know, having coworkers and what it's like to have some coworkers who have different work ethics than you and what you are supposed to do that. What is your responsibility as a worker? That's the bulk of it. But what you're saying, Lawrence, there were enough little allusions. Perhaps you're not being told the right things to do. Those kind of things. He would say that. Or perhaps, you know, you're not working on the things that you should because you're not exactly sure of what they are and somebody needs to let, you know, like, he was referencing those kind of things. Yes, it was. It was a very calm bit of truth. And Jalen has established himself, I think, in his life, but certainly in his appearances here, which he takes seriously. Now, in year three, man.
Yeah.
It's year three. He likes being known as a truth teller. And he's not out there looking for headlines, but he enjoys the communication because he's good at it, and he clearly likes to communicate with it. You know, and you see him on other shows in the off season and doing other stuff because he likes it. And I don't get the sense that he loves it for the glory and the look at me and that stuff. I mean, maybe he likes some of that, but he likes communicating the truth, dude. And so when you find a way in, he will tell you the truth.
It's also fascinating to me that we can be at this point with the Bears overall. And I'm telling you, I know I make mention of it probably once a week, but I go back to him saying, yeah, you know, I've been here for a while, and I've been told that we're going to have good teams, and we just kind of haven't.
Yeah, right.
And he wasn't falling for the banana in the tailpipe at the beginning of the year of being like, oh, we're supposed to be good? Well, we kind of have to prove that we're good.
Yes, but during, like, the post-Carolina week and the post-Jacksonville week, Jalen was feeling it. He was feeling the optimism and the possibility of the offense and more, and had a little bit of a glow about him. So when we're able to ask him today what that's like, he basically said, this is what I'm used to. He said this with a bad offense. This is what I'm used to.
How sad of a statement is that?
It was heartbreaking.
Heartbreaking statement.
Absolutely heartbreaking. For a guy that works like that and can only control what he does, and to a greater extent, some of what the defense does, and he's not going to win. He's not going to win this year, you know?
Look, man, I worked for a lot of years with some guys that had similar feelings about the offenses that they played with, and it's hard. Because you feel like you can be even better. You know, that if you just get a little bit of help, you could be even better. And then, like, some of the stuff slips. Like yesterday, where you're playing it, like, statistically, it looks fine. what the defense did. But those guys know they didn't do enough.
Hey, man, they get dispirited, and it's on you to not let that show, but it just doesn't take much. A league full of athletes this good, man, it doesn't take much in terms of losing the connectedness or the continuity. It's like, who is the safety for Jacksonville who told us about it after the Jaguars got embarrassed in London and said that he saw some quit because they lost connectivity?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think about that a lot, because that dude, their Kevin Byard, their old safety who's been through it, said some truth that day. And when these guys tell us truth, we got to learn from it.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we will wrap up everything here in Las Vegas and let you know about everything that went on with this trip, which was pretty great. We'll do that next. Spiegel and Holmes here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Good vibes, Ben.
Afternoons on The Score.
Four of us wolves running around the desert together in Las Vegas looking for strippers and cocaine.
We are leaving Las Vegas momentarily.
You like the way that he puts the emphasis on the second
cocaine.
Syllable.
I love the way that he says that.
Cocaine. He puts the emphasis on the second syllable.
I think that's really, really good stuff.
Yeah, we gone.
Not yet. We still got a few more minutes.
We gone soon.
That we need to entertain the people.
Let me say, by the way, that the Sphere, where I saw the Eagles yesterday, is a game changer that will redefine the concert industry and the possibilities for musical entertainment forever. It's like, as a screen, it's better than any IMAX movie or planetarium thing you've ever seen. It's like, it dominates that visually. And sonically, Lawrence, there are 160,000 speakers that are playing the music. It is both quiet and loud. Like, it's quiet enough to talk to your person sitting next to you.
Oh.
But it's perfectly surround sound for every single seat in attendance. It is astonishing. And every song, you have an opportunity now for your own music video, but at an incredibly high level, and you have to bring it in terms of content providing. And so now it has changed what the possibilities are. Sometimes you don't even look down at the stage and look at the band. Sometimes you're not even listening immaculately to the music. You are lost in the visuals, which is a great thing, but also a little sad for you know, going to see a band cook. You know what I mean? So it's as much as it is a technological marvel, it is also a sign of our decay in terms of a society's ability to pay attention. You know what I mean? It's just, but the experience is unbelievable. I felt like I was watching the acid trips while listening to music of my youth come alive. You know, like this is what Pink Floyd foretold as multimedia musical entertainment. It's an astonishing thing.
I see you trying to run out the clock while you talking about the Sphere. Yeah. When really what we should be talking about is your Packers bet.
Oh.
Oh, Tanny, you thought maybe all of our experience.
Our lovely hosts here.
Oh,
at
yeah.
Circa.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
That's a good thing.
Excuse me. Yeah. Well,
guys, filibustering over here like a Republican senator.
Well, on the Packers bet, I'm not ready to talk about that yet. I'm not ready to announce exactly what
No,
I'm
literally do it right now.
No.
24-hour tease, baby.
20-hour tease. 20-hour tease. We'll get to it tomorrow. I've had some thoughts on the Packers sweep bet. A lot of people sent money and contributed money. I have not placed the bet yet.
We've got new information in regards to that bet.
Yeah.
Cool. New information.
Okay, so for those of you listening at home, if he's not going to talk about it tomorrow and he hasn't placed it yet and we're leaving right now, what do you think he's doing?
Hey, I can swing by the sports book on my way. You don't know.
Can I make the – because we never paid off that tease. Can I make the announcement about who's joining us?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Am I allowed or no?
Yeah, that's fine.
I mean, yeah.
I don't have to.
Is it tomorrow?
Yeah.
It's happening tomorrow?
It's for tomorrow.
You should absolutely make we're so excited about this. Well, hold on.
There is a sounder, yeah. So, yeah, we didn't talk about this, but Robbie's got that queued up back there.
Robbie, you got it queued up?
It's a legendary bear, multi-time pro bowler, right?
He's got it.
Hit it, Robbie.
Bam Briggs.
Hey, what's up, Holmes?
Bam Briggs.
It is a Chicago touchdown. Lance Briggs.
Diving interception. Lance Briggs.
He's another guy that will bring the wood, too.
Johnson is leveled by Lance Briggs.
Bears have it. Lance Briggs. Touchdown,
Starting tomorrow, Lance Briggs is going to join us at 3 o'clock on Tuesdays, every Tuesday until the season is over. And as he texted me, he said, Mortimer, we're back.
And it's his birthday tomorrow.
It is.
Great
Boogie's birthday tomorrow. So we are going to have a blast with 55. He is going to join us on a weekly basis.
Tremendous.
And I could not be happier. So let's see. That's a couple. We got Olin and we got Lance. There's a couple Infinity Stones left that I got to go try and find.
I know one of them.
I know a couple of them. We're going to get them in here and then go save the universe. That's what we're going to try and do.
Can be done, baby. That's awesome, man. I know you and Lance got a thing and a relationship. Looking forward to having that relationship extend to this show. Speaking of relationships, by the way, Circa and Derek Stevens have been unbelievable hosts. And in terms of enablers, they don't come better than Kevin Cassidy and Mitch Rosen for enabling this trip, man.
And our meal on Friday.
Oh, dude. At Barry's? Unbelievable. Thank you to everybody at Odyssey and at Circa for getting us here. And it was great to hang as a four-pack on this show, man.
Looking for hookers and cocaine.
Is that what we were doing?
At Rick Harrison's barbecue place last night. Because when you run a successful pawn shop, the next natural step is barbecue restaurant.
Let right there. A buddy.
Right next door.
Let me call in a buddy who's an expert on brisket.
To our engineer, Ray, our guy, Alan, he did a great job. Man, thank you so much for everything that you did for us while we were here. You're in charge of the donuts after we leave.
Yeah, you got to take care of those, Alan.
Eat them, share them. We don't care. Thanks, our guy, Aaron, too, from Circa. He's outstanding. Thanks to Derek Stevens for inviting us out and always showing us an A-plus time. We appreciate you, too. We know the show has sounded a little different over the last 10 days because I've been out and about, but we appreciate you hanging with us. For Shane, Tanny, Speaks, I'm Lauren saying that appreciation will be repaid tomorrow in the Score Studios at 2 o'clock on Spiegel and Holmes on the Score. See ya.
All right, I got to go here, guys. I got something.
Mullin Haw, Chicago's number one most listened to sports morning show, 5:30 till 10 a.m.
Olin Kreutz.
You don't really know what's going on in the building. You don't really know what they're doing there, whose fault it is, whose fault is that play, why was there 9 sacks, why can't anybody stop, Austin Hooper, why is the wide receiver open there, why does Tyree...
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.